Ephesians chapter 1, we said we'd continue on in this tremendous book, the book of Ephesians, and chapter 1, we will be turning back to Joshua. But first of all, here in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, we looked at the first two verses a few Lord's days ago, who it was addressed to, who wrote the epistle, and the salutation. And last time in the prayer meeting, we looked at the blesser and the blessings he gives. Verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed, and of course the first blessed is the idea of us attributing good words, eulogies, great words to God the Father. When the word blessings used later, it's a different word meaning he gives us his favor, the riches of his grace. But verse 3, Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ending our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless it to us. We're not going to get to verse 4 tonight, because I want to continue the theme of verse 3. We looked last time about the wonderful blessings we have in Christ. Remember the theme of the whole book, especially chapter 1 sets forth who we are. Who we are. First three chapters are what we were. Chapter 2, we were sinners, we were depraved, we were doomed, we were dead. Nothing we could do to save ourselves. But in chapter 2, verse 6, he made us alive, he quickened us. By grace you're saved. But then in chapter 1, it tells us what we now are. What we were, what we now are. We are saints, Lord's special people. We share in Christ's riches because we sit in the heavenlies with him. All that Christ is and all that he has is yours. Say, but the world can't understand that. We can hardly take it in. But that's what salvation is. He doesn't just forgive us our sins. He puts us into Christ. And Christ shares his glory with us. We're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And we thought about that. So we have been given them. And they're not just in the future in heaven, in the sky by and by, but in the nasty now and now. These blessings are for this world. But we don't enjoy them all. Are there any of us tonight would say, I have experienced and enjoy all the blessings that are mine in Christ? I don't think so. I don't think so. How can we enjoy these blessings? We've read in verse 3, they are ours. Christian, you already have every blessing that you need. Remember, pointed out, do you need wisdom? Do you need righteousness when we realize our sin? Do you need peace? Do you need joy? Well, we already have them. Because he is our peace. He is our joy. Christ has made unto us wisdom. But we're not enjoying them. Remember we pointed out that you may own something and not really use it or experience it. Remember we talked about Hetty Green? I'll tell you another one. True story. Garbage Mary was her nickname. Not too pleasant, is it? That wasn't her real name. But in a small Florida town a few decades ago, there was an elderly lady, so they thought, who got the nickname Garbage Mary. She lived on the streets. Sadly, I'm thinking back 50 years ago when we went to America, I remember working in a rescue mission when we were in Bible school training once a week where men are actually sleeping out. Way back then, 1969, 70, 71, sleeping in the streets at night. Some of them had been lawyers, good jobs, but alcohol or got them, and they're sleeping in the streets. You see them walking around. They got a bed for the night. Well, anyway, Garbage Mary was always seen round the trash cans, the garbage, searching for food, pushing a wee cart, taking things out of the garbage cans. And she'd bring it home to her little apartment. And everybody nicknamed her Garbage Mary. People thought she was very elderly. She began to get a bit more, a nuisance to people. And finally, she was committed to a psychiatric institution. When the court officials went to her, it was actually a little two-room apartment, They found it was full of bank books, stocks and shares, mining rights. She was worth well over $1 million. And she was only 48. She wasn't elderly. Think of it. She had all that money, yet she was hoping in garbage cans. You say, yes, there must have been something wrong psychologically. It's sad. These things happen in life. Sadly, we realize that. But we Christians, we have a great store of wealth. And so I ask you and me tonight, are we a little bit like garbage Mary? Are we enjoying? We have them. They're there. Just like she had the wealth in her own. There was money loose in her own little apartment. She had it, but she didn't spend it. She didn't use it. And Christ, through his death, has given us wonderful, wonderful blessings. He hath given them to us. How can we enjoy our spiritual blessings? How can we enter into them? Well, look again at chapter 1, verse 3, and note the words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, do you know God has given you a whole book in the Bible to illustrate how to enjoy your blessings? Doesn't just tell us, do this, do this. He's given us a whole book of illustrations, and isn't it good? Because illustrations help us, don't they? A picture's worth 1,000 words. And God has given us a book that corresponds with Ephesians, and you should read both of them together. And it so happens in my reading through the Bible, a year have come to Joshua. But turn over to Joshua, the Old Testament book of Joshua, and we're at chapter 1, and we're looking at the same number verse, verse 3. And as I read it, you think of the similarity between what we have in Ephesians. All right, think of the similarity to the book of Ephesians. All right, we're in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, now note, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Notice the grammar. Doesn't say, I will give it to you. Doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't it remind you of Ephesians 1 and 3? You have already been given them. So the message is, every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I've already given it to you. It's already yours. But see, they hadn't gone into the land yet. But it was already theirs. Isn't that amazing? It was already theirs. But they hadn't entered into it yet. And so here is a wonderful book. I have given it to you. Now, I know we sometimes sing hymns about Canaan being heaven, you know, in heaven's land. But Canaan is not heaven. All right? I know in some of the hymns you get that. But in the Bible, the picture, the illustration, Canaan is not heaven. Why? Because they still had to fight when they went in on Joshua's day. There'll be no fighting in heaven. All right, so it's obvious. And that's why we said in the book of Ephesians, didn't we? In the heavenlies, it's not just talking about heaven by and by. It can't be, because in chapter 6 of Ephesians, there's battles. We war a warfare, and there's it would have put on the whole armor. So here's the similarity here. Canaan was entering into the... Sorry, Joshua was going into Canaan. Canaan represented the blessings that had already been given to them. In other words, God blessed the Israelites with all earthly blessings in Canaan. Christian, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Just as the Israelites went into a land flowing with milk and honey and so on, you can enter into the land that God has ordained for you. So how Israel got their possessions in the book of Joshua illustrates you when you're reading Ephesians. You should read them both together, or certainly think about them, because it'll explain why we haven't really enjoyed all our blessings. In other words, Canaan belonged to those people. God's saying, now you're about to cross Jordan and go into the land, and I've already given it to you. It's yours. It's your name on it. It belongs to you. I've given it to you. But here's how you enter into the blessings. Now, how did they enter in? Well, chapter 1 and verse 3, look at the last phrase, as I said unto Moses. See that? As I said unto Moses. It began with scriptural contemplation, I'll call it. Scriptural contemplation. They thought about it. They heard sermons about it. What do I mean? I'll not turn to it for time, but if you note Deuteronomy chapter 8, it's a wonderful chapter. How Moses said, just before this, remember Moses died, Joshua took over, and as Moses came to die, you know what he told the people? God led you these 40 years to humble you. And he's going to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey, of grapes, of pomegranates, they're mentioned as well, wheat, barley, seven things are mentioned. A land flowing with fountains, many fountains, waters, rivers, a prosperous land. In other words, Moses described it. And remember the spies, that was of course 38 years before, they went in and come back and told about the wonderful land. You remember? They carried the bunch of grapes. And you talk about a bunch of grapes, it took two men to carry it in a pole. You don't get grapes like that in the grocers today, do you? I mean, some size of luscious grapes from the Eshcol. But anyway, by the way, you know, of course, that Jacob hundreds of years had prophesied that the land of Judah got would be a land of the juice of the grapes, and that's the land Judah got, Eshcol, same valley where those grapes came from. Hundreds of years before, prophesied in the Bible, a wonderful book. You read about that in Genesis 49. But I'm saying, it was described to them. I was reading this on Sunday. Turn to chapter 18 of Joshua. I was really struck by it, and it brought home this message. Remember, we're saying, how do they enter into the blessings? Well, they had to hear about them. They had to learn what they were like. Well, chapter 18 of Joshua, now this is some years and their seven tribes still hadn't got their land. And in chapter 18 and verse 4 of Joshua, Joshua calls for spies, as it were, or men. Verse 4, Joshua 18. Give out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land. Watch. And describe it. They're to bring back a description of it. Isn't that tremendous? A description. Go down to verse 6. It's amazing how this word comes. Ye shall therefore describe the land. Isn't that right? On in the verse. And bring the description hither to me. Describe it. Describe it. The description of it. Look at verse 8. The men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land. Verse 9 of chapter 18. And the men went and passed through the land and described it. Isn't that amazing? And described it. Really tremendous. And notice then, and described it by cities into seven parts in a book. In a book. It was written down, probably a scroll, not a book as we know it, but still a book. So, do you notice, I was struck Sunday morning reading this. Describe it, describe it, describe it, describe it. Joshua 1 verse 3, the command is, as Moses told us to describe it, that they learnt about what was theirs. And these men come back and they said, oh, there's rivers here and there's mountains here. They're like a map almost. Oh, you got to go and see it. It's like somebody on a trip, on a holiday, and they come back, oh, you ought to see the mountains, you ought to see. And they're describing, oh, I'd love to go and visit it too. In other words, where does our possessing our possessions begin? By getting into this book. God has described in the book of Ephesians wonderful blessings that are yours. You'll not know what they are unless you read this book. You'll not know what they are. You'll still be living in poverty. You'll have riches, but you'll not know what they are until you read the book. Now, secondly, the land was theirs by sovereign choice. Turn to Deuteronomy 7. We're learning how the Israelites got this land, and it's a wonderful illustration or picture how we get the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. Now, why were those Israelites entering into Canaan? Did they deserve it? Did they work for it? Is it because they lived a good life? Well, Deuteronomy 7, just a few months before, Moses tells them, Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people." You were the fewest. But if you look at back, I know I'm backtracking, verse 6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord your God, you're my saints. God hath chosen thee to be a special people." I remember, so that's what saint means. Right, let's go on then in verse 8. Why did God choose them? "But because the Lord loved you." Isn't that amazing? "And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you with a mighty hand and redeemed you." Isn't that amazing? Why did they get this land? Because God chose them. Remember a little bit earlier, I went on and read first chapter of Ephesians verse 4. We've been chosen in Christ. We're a chosen people. God chose Israel. It wasn't because the nation of Israel was so wonderful, they deserved it, and so faithful, so holy in their behavior. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. There were the few. But God sovereignly set his love upon them. Why is it tonight, believer, we can enjoy these wonderful blessings? Because God chose us in Christ. Next time, Lord willing, we'll talk about that. It's amazing. Not because we deserved it. And talked here about the people who were redeemed. Remember, redeemed and the blood of the Lamb coming out of Egypt, the Passover. Well, we've been redeemed. Ephesians 1 goes on to talk about that, redeemed. It's amazing. When you read the parallels between Israel going into Canaan and us. And so it was theirs by sovereign choice because they were chosen in Abraham. That brings me to the third thing, spiritual contemplation. Think, read about what God has for you. Read about the sovereign choice, how he chose you. But it was theirs by a sacred covenant. Did you notice when I read here in Deuteronomy 7, it's because if you look at verse 8, if you've still your Bible open there in Deuteronomy 7, verse 8, "because the Lord loved you, and which he had sworn unto your fathers." See, God swore a covenant. Let's go back to Genesis 15. We're looking at a lot of passages tonight, but it's a Bible study. We're learning. God has given these wonderful pictures to show us how we can enjoy our blessings. So let's go way back 400 plus years earlier. It's amazing, just turn a few pages and it's 400 years earlier. All right. So here's Abram. And God called Abram. Of course, his name changed to Abraham, but it hasn't been changed yet. All right, it hasn't been changed. And he says, "You're going to have a son. And I'm going to, through him, through your descendant, the whole world's going to be blessed. And I'm going to give you a land." Going to give you a land. Look at verse 7 of Genesis 15. He said unto him, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land." You've got a land. "And your descendants will inherit it." And in verse 8, Abram says, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit?" Well, God made a covenant with him. God made a covenant. You drop down to verse 18. "In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thee, unto thy seed have I given." Doesn't say I will give. "Have I given this land?" See that? A covenant, a covenant. Now, what's that about? Well, there's a ceremony takes place. If you go back to verse 9, God said, "Take a heifer, she-goat." See these animals? Verse 10, he takes them, he divides them. He lays them out in two lines. Put these birds as well. Okay? The fowls come down, that's wild birds. He drives them away. And in verse 12, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of a great darkness fell upon him. And then God spoke to him, "Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. All right? But they'll come out with great substance," the end of verse 14. Verse 15, "then I shall go to thy fathers in peace." Verse 16, "but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again." Yeah, they'll come hither. I want you to notice verse 17. "It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp
that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Now, you're probably, if you've never heard this preaching, you may be saying, what is this all about?
Well, let me very quickly tell you. In the Old Testament, men made covenants with each other. Abraham made one with Abimelech. Abimelech wasn't a Jew, not a believer. Jacob made one with Laban. There are other places, covenants. A covenant is a solemn, binding agreement between men. Today, you'd say it would be with a solicitor. Legal documents drawn up, maybe registered in a court or whatever. A legal, now they didn't have that in those days. So, men being men, how do we know they're telling the truth? How do they keep their word? Well, here's what they did. It's a very strange ceremony. You cut a covenant. You cut a covenant. Okay, why? Because it's described here, and you'll read about Abraham and Abimelech, the same thing, killed so many animals. That was to do with land. We'll not come into your land. You'll not come into ours. The same way with Jacob and Laban. I'll not go into your territory to attack you. You'll not come. It was a peace treaty, a covenant. Here's what happened. God told the people, when you make a covenant, here's what you do. It's symbolic. They would cut animals in two and lay them out in a line and another line. And the two men say, I solemnly swear before God that I will keep my word to you. And that man would say, I solemnly swear that I will keep my word. And to prove, we'll do it. We're passing between these animals. And what they're actually saying was this. They're actually saying, if we don't keep our word, may what happened to these animals happen to me. I call upon God to judge me if I don't keep my solemn. See, an oath or a covenant is a very solemn thing. It shouldn't be entered into lightly. By the way, there's a chapter in our Westminster Confession on lawful oaths and covenants. That's why in a court of law, I've no problem putting my hand upon a Bible. I hope I don't have to do it in a court case. But I believe as a Christian, I do. I've met some believers and they say, no, you're not to do that. Well, I'm sorry. You are. Because our confession actually has a chapter on that and says we ought to do that. Why? It's now only on solemn occasions. What the Lord condemned when he said swear not at all was Pharisees where every other sentence, oh, I swear by Almighty God, that became blasphemy. That was curse word. That was taking the Lord's name in vain. But on very solemn occasions, that's what two men did. That's what two men did. Now, I could give you examples all through the Old Testament. But here God is making a covenant with himself. On behalf of Abram, God is making a covenant, yes, with Abram. But Abraham's only, he's frail. How could he ever keep a covenant? How could I ever keep a promise? By the way, this is referred to in Hebrews 6, this story. And it says there, God could swear by no greater, so he swore by his own name. And that passing between, do you see it talks there about the lamp? The horror, that's a picture of Calvary. You see, here these animals, Abram was getting a view, as it were, of the cross. But look at verse 17, the smoking, the burning torch that passed up between the pieces. What was that? It wasn't a what, it was a who. It's the Lord. It's God the Son. You see, often in Scripture, our God is a consuming fire, the fiery, cloudy pillar that went before the Israelites. Abraham is seen in a vision that there's a covenant made here. And then God says, Abram, I'm making a covenant with you. Your descendants will be 400 years in a strange land, but then I'll bring them out into the land that I promised to you. Now, you jump ahead to the book of Joshua. The 400 years are up. God's keeping his promise. God's keeping his covenant. And that's why the Israelites are confident as they cross Jordan. We are going to possess all that God has for us because God covenanted it to Abram. We enter into all our blessings. Why? Because God the Father covenanted with God the Son representing us. And he has kept his side. And so the covenant is sure. We enter in because of that wonderful covenant. You see, in the covenant of grace, it's called, our minds can hardly take it in, but away back, eternity past, if you call eternity past, God the Son and God the Father made a covenant. God the Son covenanted that he would take a human body and a human nature, come to this earth, live that perfect, righteous life that we could never live, and die the death that we deserved. It's as if he said, Father, I solemnly promise, I covenant that I will do everything that is required to save those people. Not only to save them, forgive their sins, but I will make them heirs with myself. And he kept the promise. He's kept the promise. Just as the Israelites, as they stepped into Canaan land, they knew that God was keeping the covenant. And so you ever doubt, maybe some days you doubt, are these blessings really for me? I'm not a strong Christian. I don't have great faith. Are all these blessings about peace and joy and the Holy Spirit living, are they for me? How can you be assured? Do you start looking and saying, well, I've tried to do my best this week. You know, I've really tried to live a good life. No, it's not. You get the blessings. You look at Calvary. Why? Because he's the mediator of the new covenant. The blood that he shed. You see, animals' blood was shed here in this story. Well, Christ's blood in the Hebrews 13 is called the blood of the everlasting covenant. In other words, how did they get their blessings? Well, they contemplated them. Scriptural contemplation. But then there was more than that. You see, they had this covenant, the covenant that was theirs. But then there's back to Joshua 1 and 3. I have to finish this soon. But Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Here's another reason they got it, or a way they got it, I should say. In Joshua 1, verse 3, it says, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon. See it, Joshua 1 and 3. There had to be a singular claim. It's yours. Every person got a piece of the land. Christian, you have spiritual blessings. You say, but I'm not enjoying them. Well, you have to stand on them. You have to stand on them. Those people, it was theirs, but they had to put their foot on it. And God says, every place you put your foot, I've already given it to you. Putting your foot is like claiming it. This is mine. Put your foot down. You know, this is mine. But it was already theirs. But to enjoy it, they had to put their foot upon it. Now, how did they go to put their foot on the land? Well, they appropriated it. How? Now, listen carefully. Here's how those Israelites, as they crossed Jordan, inherited and enjoyed and experienced their blessing. Listen carefully. They got their blessing by following Jesus. Christian, how do you get your blessing? How do you enter into all these spiritual blessings? By following Joshua. Now, I didn't get the names mixed up. Did you think I did? If you're following, you probably did. I'm sure you all, or maybe most of you know, Joshua and Jesus are exactly the same name. I know a child, if you're telling them that, would say, hold on a minute. Joshua is J-O-S-H-U-A. Jesus is J. Listen, they're both the same. Remember, that's our English pronunciation, Jesus. So it's not the way Hebrews would have said it. It's not the way, or even the early Greeks would have said it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that name. It's right that we use it in our own language, the pronunciation. Joshua and Jesus are exactly the same name, Jehovah Savior. I assure you of that. They're the same name, exactly. Exactly. There are many people called Joshua in the Old Testament, just as there are many people in the New Testament called Jesus. Remember that? Jesus, Elymas bar Jesus. Jesus Justice. It was a common name among Jews. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, he made it of special significance because he is Jehovah the Savior. But Joshua and Jesus are exactly the same name. You say they're not well, one's in Hebrew, one's in Greek. That's all. It's the same name. Same name. I'm sure there's some Johns here. Well, you know, Ivan is the Russian for John. Sean, isn't it Irish for John? Ian, I have a son, Ian, that's Scottish, Gaelic for John. I could go on, Juan, Spanish. You say, but they don't seem to be spelt the same. How could Ian? Well, they're the same, I assure you, if you look at different languages. So isn't this wonderful? You think, isn't that a tremendous coincidence, isn't it? The Israelites followed Joshua and we follow our heavenly Joshua. Well, it's not coincidence, is it? It's God. Not amazing, this wonderful book of illustrations. They followed the captain of their salvation, as it were. They followed Joshua, and they get into that. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, trust and obey, for there's no other way.
to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. One last one. There had to be spiritual conflict, or spiritual conquest, we'll call it. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. It was theirs, yes, all these blessings. But this isn't a contradiction. They got them by grace. There's nothing they could do to earn them or merit them. But it's not a contradiction to say they still had to fight. They still had to fight. Because in chapter 6 of Ephesians, what are we told? We're told in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. They still had to fight. Now, the Israelites' victory was assured, for God says, I've given it to you, but they still had to fight all the different tribes and so on, Canaanites when they went in. We still are battle because we have an adversary, Satan, but we fight from victory unto victory, because Christ has won the victory. And all the armor, I'm sure you've heard series on the armor, but to simplify it in one sentence, all the armor speaks of Christ. I believe every piece of the armor speaks of Christ. And we fight in Christ's name. Satan will still oppose us. And there's one weapon we're to take, of course, chapter 6 and 18, and it is prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. In other words, read Joshua. There's a promised land for us. And that promised land, it belongs to us. It's yours. You have it tonight. You have every blessing you need for the trials of life. You've already got it, but you need to possess your possessions. Read about them. Study what you have in Christ. Overcome the victories. Purchase them. In other words, every day we get up. You ever think of it this way? I admit I don't every day, but I should. Have another day to enjoy wonderful blessings. Another day to experience the blessings that are mine in Christ. Arise and enter into our blessings. And there's one blessing we can enter into tonight, right now, and it's chapter 2 and it's verse 18 of Ephesians, and I better finish here. You know what it says? Here's a blessing. This is a blessing you can claim. We're talking just as the Israelites put their foot on the land and said, this is mine, God's given it to me, I'm claiming it. And of course, remember Caleb, how he chased the enemy out to get Hebron. He said, that's my land. And he chased them out. Well, look at chapter 2 and 18. It says, for through him, that's Christ, God the Son, we, Jew and Gentile, both have access by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, unto the Father, God the Father. We can come tonight and pray. We can come tonight into his presence. And that's a wonderful blessing that ours, but we have to take it. It's one thing to know we can come in prayer tonight, but it's another thing to really come, and we can claim that blessing tonight. May God help us to claim our blessings in him. We're going to sing a couple of verses of another hymn. That's 180. Just let me remind you, the announcements I have here, the Lord's Day, remember Sunday School Bible class, prayer meeting before the services. I hope to be here for both services, Lord's Day, Easter, of course, in the morning, remember Jesus Christ is risen. And then the prayer meeting will not be on Tuesday next week because of the holidays. It'll be on Wednesday night. So please note that Wednesday next week, the prayer meeting, I hope to be here continuing, Lord willing, the book of Ephesians. Remember the Easter convention, Friday night at 8, Saturday night 7:30, Monday night 7. So if you just keep remembering half an hour earlier each time, all right? So 8 o'clock Friday, that's what I understand, 7:30 Saturday, 7 p.m. And so do remember the sick and those who need our prayers at this time, and thank you for praying for us up in Macrofelt. Good numbers. Each night, over 100, I think, except the last night when a lot were away at another meeting. But thank you for your prayers during that week of meetings. Well, let's sing the first two verses of 180. Holy Spirit, lead us now. We're reading about that in the book of Ephesians. So let's sing the first two verses.
Holy Spirit, lead us now. Oh.
The men could just see the committee very briefly after the meeting, be very brief, we trust, so the committee, please. So let's get down to prayer. Let's do as we've been singing and get before the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou hast given us the whole book of the Bible to illustrate that we ought to be putting our feet upon these blessings. We need to claim them by faith. Lord, we thank thee in Christ these blessings are ours. We can never earn them or deserve them, but we thank they're ours by grace. But tonight, even this blessing that we've given, that we can come by the Holy Spirit through God the Son unto thee, God our Father, and make our petitions known. We pray, Lord, that we would, as it were, even claim that blessing tonight and come with our requests. Help us now. Lead our brethren and sisters out in prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.